The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
They came to the other side of the sea, to the region of the Gerasenes. And when he had stepped out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. He lived among the tombs, and no one could restrain him any more, even with a chain. For he had often been restrained with shackles and chains, but the chains he wrenched apart, and the shackles he broke in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and bowed down before him, and he shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he had said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He begged him earnestly not to send them out of the region. Now there on the hillside, a great herd of swine was feeding, and the unclean spirits begged him, "Send us unto the swine. Let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, stampeded down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. The swine herds ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then the people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the man possessed by demons sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, the very man who had had the legion, and they became frightened. Those who had seen what had happened to the man possessed by demons and to the swine reported it. Then they began to beg Jesus to leave their neighborhood. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed by demons begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus refused and said to him, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. All right, would you pray with me, please? Good and gracious God, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come together to worship, to be community. We thank you, Lord, for all the gifts that you give us, the gift of worship, and especially the gift of baptism. We ask you, Lord, to meet us where we are, wherever that might be. Flood into our lives so that through you, with you, and in you, we can gain a better understanding of where you are calling us to go and how you are calling us to get there. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So today we are continuing our assessment of Jesus's skills, focusing this week on exorcizing. And you got to really focus on that or-sizing, because if you say it too fast, it's exorcising, and we can all do that, right? Some of us like it more than others. I've grown less fond of exercising in my older ages, my more wiser years, I should say. I'm not as limber as I used to be. But what we're looking at here is something that makes, at least I think, some of us a little uneasy. The idea of exorcism, right? This possession of unclean spirits or demonic forces, however you want to describe it, at least in our tradition, is a little bit kind of out here towards the outskirts of our faith boundaries. We don't like to go there. It's a little spiritual, a little dark and occultish, makes us a little squeamish. We'll dip our waters in there, toes in the water a little bit, but more or less, we don't have a lot of exposure to it. Usually when we think of exorcisms, at least from my perspective, I go more towards Hollywood than I do scripture, right? I see a lot of exorcism in Hollywood. There's a lot of scripts out there, a lot of good movies. I love the Exorcist films, right? But we have other ones too, like Amityville Horror and Insidious, right? And or The Exorcism of Emily Rose, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's really cool stuff. We get these great stories of like good versus evil and light versus dark. And you get on the edge of your seat and you're like, oh my gosh, is that person going to be saved? What's going to happen next? Is the demon going to get out and get everybody? We don't know. But we don't really get that in Scripture today. It's actually kind of anticlimactic, really. Mark might be great at writing very short and concise and intentional gospels, but I don't know if Mark would be hired to write a script for Hollywood on demonic possession. I don't think they would call him up. Because what we see here is something that is not what Hollywood portrays. Jesus can barely get 2 feet off the boat onto the ground before this unclean spirit, this demonic, this legion, for we are many, not only sees and identifies who Christ is, but rushes to the beach, not to attack Jesus, but to fall down on its knees, begging Christ to be nice. I've never seen that in a Hollywood film, have you? So if we're not seeing in our story of exercising here, spinning heads and pea green soup vomit projectiles or walking backwards in Spider-Man fashion downstairs, what do we get? What is this skill of exorcism all about, and why are we highlighting it? So what do we see? Well, let's look back at it. We see a couple of things happening. Right off the bat, we see authority. We see the power and authority of Christ. Instantaneously, this force that has held this person captive and hostage is now begging for mercy and leniency. Immediately. Just a few weeks ago, we heard the story of not one, but 2 kings brought to us by our bishop. And what we see today is the authority of that second king. That second king who came in a unique and unexpected circumstance, and who came not to build great buildings and massive cities and empires, but to give away everything he has. And what does Christ give? Christ gives wholeness. Christ gives healing, forgiveness, grace, mercy, and love. This is what we see from the Lord of all. But we also see Christ going where nobody else is willing to go, to give love to those who are unloved. Look at that poor tortured soul, this demoniac cast away from society. They had no answer. They didn't know what to do. For them, they're like, you know, it's just better for him to be far away from us. We're scared. We don't understand it. The dude can mangle chains. No, we don't want that around here. So they ostracize him. He becomes marginalized, cast out. And yes, if they can hear his voice day and night, he might be howling and crying in his pain and agony, but he's out of sight, he's out of mind. They do know he's alive, so maybe it's like, well, he'll figure it out. He'll be okay. He's alive right now. He'll get better. He'll do it on his own. It'll be fine. But nobody wanted to go there. You have this broken and tortured soul trying to find life amidst nothing but death, and that is where Christ goes. It is in this place where culture and society would say everything about this man leads you to ritual defilement. That is where Christ goes. To the people who are thrown away. The people who are different. It's not to the high and mighty, to the political and the wealthy and the elite. It's to those who are different, who are looked down upon, who are second class or even lower. This is where the Lord, the King, chooses to give everything. We also see the power of the kingdom of God. This takes us back to that very first chapter of Mark when Jesus is announcing his purpose. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. It is here in this unlikeliest of place that the inbreaking of the kingdom of God takes place. In a cemetery. This is where God's light, God's healing and restoration comes out of. Oftentimes when we look at Scripture, we like to envision God's inbreaking of his kingdom into our lives as coming through flawed systems and people, but that's not what we see here. We see the inbreaking of the kingdom of God coming into our reality in spite of flawed systems and people. Because the people in the systems of this day and age were like, the only answer is ostracizing them, getting rid of them, pushing them aside. Putting up barriers to prevent that kind of connection that the Holy Spirit calls us into, to prevent community. And yet the kingdom of God overcomes all of that. What we see here is we see an example of an answer to the question that you may have had last week when we were looking at Jesus' skill of storytelling. And the parable of what is good soil. Because it is here with this demoniac, a broken and outcast soul yearning for freedom and for life, but one that was held down, bound, and trapped. It's here that we see an example of good soil. Think about it. Look at the trajectory of what happens with this miracle. The people that bear witness to it, that are present when it happens, when they go back and report it, what's the result? The result is one of fear, of panic, of questioning, maybe even some anger. I know if I was the owner of those pigs, I'd be a little bit upset. That's my livelihood. If I was a member of the EPA, I'd be very upset because you just put a lot of dead bodies into a body of water. That's an ecological hazard there. When they come to confront Jesus and to see all that was reported to them, their response is, you should please go, leave, don't harm any more pigs, don't pollute water, please, go. Is to continue to push away and to ostracize. But it's in that demoniac that we see the good soil, where the Spirit can plant these seeds and they can grow and bear good fruit. Because as Christ was leaving, adhering to the requests of these scared people, it's that demoniac that rushes back to the feet of Christ, again begging for a second time, Lord, please let me come with you. And maybe on the surface level, we might be tempted to say, yeah, but Jesus was dismissive, right? Jesus said, no, you can't come with me, right? It'd be easy to go there, because think about it, right? Jesus is forming a reputation. He's got a bunch of guys with him already, like, hey, yeah, you were possessed. You kind of got some baggage. We don't want that on the boat, so you're not good enough. Just stay here, bud. Just stay here. But that's not really what happens. Yes, Jesus says, no, you can't come with me this way, but I will go with you that way. Because where your next step isn't to go on this boat, it is to go back home, to tell everyone what the Lord has done for you, the mercy that you have experienced. He gets the same charge and command that Christ's disciples get. Think about that. And he hasn't spent all the time with Jesus. He doesn't get the answers to the parables. He doesn't go through the same rituals and rites. Does he go home and just tell everybody in the privacy of his own place? Absolutely not. Scripture tells us that he goes to the Decapolis. That's a public forum. He's giving a TED Talk. He's got a bunch of people paying attention to his story. And what is the result from that? Not fear, not panic, not further pushing away and ostracizing. It's amazement. Scripture doesn't say that they immediately had faith, but they were amazed. So with our All Saints family over there, I'm doing our midweek group going back through Martin Luther's Small Catechism, but we're going through it as adults. And I'm getting them used to the phrase, well, what is this and what does this mean? So what is this and what does this mean? Well, it brings us back to that demoniac, that example of good soil. I know Pastor Steve talked to you a lot about that last Sunday during the sermon. But that's what this means for us. It doesn't mean that we are called to grab our Bibles and our holy water and our crosses and go into houses and start evicting evil spirits and thumping people on the face and saying the power of Christ compels you. That's not what this means for us. What this does mean for us is that we, like the demoniac, have a story to share. A story that connects us to who Christ is and what Christ is actively doing in our world today. It's a story that compels us to share our ups and our downs, but all through that, the relationship that we have with Christ. As Christians, oftentimes when we look at that relationship with Christ, we bring it back here to baptism. And today, we have the blessing and the honor to have not just one, but two baptisms, taking those steps to publicly acknowledge that we want to have a working relationship with God. But I have to bring us back to what our core fundamental belief is, that this moment is not a one-time moment. Baptism is daily. Every day, you and I are experiencing both sides of this story. We are the demoniac, where we are just pressed upon by all the worldly desires and the temptations and the things that shackle us and hold us down. The guilt, the fear, the agony, the questions, it's all there. But at the same time, we are that flawed system and flawed people, where we look at those who are different than us and we say, get out. You don't think like me, you don't vote like me, you don't eat like me, you don't dress like me. You don't even speak the same language as I do. No. Mm-mm. We're both sides of this coin. But like both sides of this story, the kingdom of God chooses us to inbreak in. Christ liberates us so that we can share Christ with others. We are loved in spite of ourselves. And it's a love that empowers us not to just get in a boat and go back across the water, but to go forward through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ to share the waters of our baptism with everyone we meet. Because remember this one little detail. We do not know. Scripture does not tell us that demoniac ever got baptized. But yet that individual, that child of God, is chosen to share the light of the gospel with all that he meets. There is nothing that invalidates you or I to be messengers for the love of God in our world. No fault or flaw, no moment of piety or upright and outstandingness that makes us more worthy. We are called. God has called us. And it's our job to come back to the foot of Christ and to say, Lord, please let us go with you. And to receive the same answer where Jesus says, all right, go. And share your story. Share the love of God and share the mercy that you have experienced with all you meet, the ones you love now and the ones that I'm calling you to love tomorrow. So again, I don't want you to feel like you have to go Bible thumping and exercising demons. But I do want you to realize that Christ has freed you, just as this demoniac, to stand firm in your love and to share that love every chance you get.